also been talking about what it means to be in good relationships with God and with each other that are meaningful and real. We talk about what it means to live with excellence in front of us as a goal. We talk about what it means to put our faith into action. And even more than each of us having our own individual great life, these are the values of our whole church, because we want to try modeling these things together as a whole community. We don't just want these things for our own sake, but we want to live them so that people can see who God is through our lives together. That's kind of the point. every week of this training, I find myself doing something that I would have told you was absolutely impossible for me to do. And I would have believed it. And every week, I get to find out that I'm a liar. Ever settle for less than the truth about yourself? Ever live up to somebody else's low expectations? Or your own low expectations? We should know the truth about ourselves, but sometimes, for whatever reason, we just don't face it. Because we don't want to see difficult things, and because we don't even want to see potential things. And when we get used to settling for less than the truth about how politics work, or what our coworkers think, or what our neighbors are up to, or what our children are doing on Friday nights, when we settle for less than the truth about those things, it gets easier and easier to settle for less than the truth about who God is, and how the world works, and what it really means to live a great life. Now, reality TV might not be all that true, but sometimes purposely false shows can show things that are incredibly true. Anybody watch Parenthood? Maybe more people than watch Alzheimer's. None of you ever have seen the show Parenthood, ever. Well, that is sad for me, sad for you, I'm not sure. It's a show, you have televisions, it's out there. There's a show called Parenthood. It's about this big family. There's about 25 storylines going on at the same time. They're all really dramatic and they all wrench your heart. It's an emotionally exhausting show to watch. But in this season's premiere, there's this young couple who they have this young son, and they walk by his room one night and they see him pray on his knees by the bed like little kids should do. But they didn't teach him that. And so they figure out that his religious grandmother has been teaching him things about the Christian faith. And so they approach the grandmother in this super awkward conversation. Maybe you're familiar with that kind of conversation where you have to tell your in-laws to, maybe interfere a little less, especially if you think differently about them or something. So they go to her and they say, we want to teach him ourselves. We want to answer his big questions ourselves. And she, kind of bows out. But then on her way, out of the conversation, she says, kind of south. What are you going to tell him? When he asks the big questions, what are you going to tell him? What are you going to teach him? Or what do you believe? And they have no answer. It cuts to commercial. So then later, it comes back to this storyline. There's no commercials on that. It's seen commercials. So this young dad, and he goes to his parents, and he presses them for their answers to the big questions. And they don't really have any. Why didn't you teach you this stuff? They said, well, we tried a lot of things. They lived in a commune for a while. They tried Buddhism for a while. They kind of just believe in goodness. And at the end of the conversation, this young dad, he's kind of struggling. He's a little bit mad at them. The father says, well, we gave you baseball. And it's sort of funny, sort of sad. baptism, we know a lot more, because everything Jesus does after his baptism has something to do with us. And we know that right after his baptism, Jesus goes through a time of temptation. Let's see what happens. It says in Matthew 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, kind of like this, to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Yeah, that seems kind of obvious. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil is sometimes called the tempter or the accuser. Those are his names that have become synonymous with him. He's one of the tempts and accuses people. And so then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. I've read the Bible too, he says. It is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him and he just came and attended him. And there are a lot of things that we could draw out of this story, but tonight I just want us to pay attention to one really big thing from this story. I was reading it this week and something caught my attention. One writer was talking about this story and said that the basic underlying temptation that Jesus shared with us in these 40 days is the temptation to treat God as less than God. Say it again. The basic underlying temptation that Jesus shared with us in this moment is the temptation to treat God as less than God. See, first, Satan tries to get Jesus to use God to get his own way. The temptation here is that faith isn't practical when you're hungry. You don't need stones, you need bread. The temptation here, use your power to use your connection with God to get your own way. Unless God can meet all of your immediate felt needs, what is the point? The other temptation in making bread and in throwing himself off of the temple would have been to turn God into a party trick God. A God who just provides tangible evidence every time that we command him. And of course, the last temptation is to turn God into just one option out of many. For Jesus to worship someone else. To prove that God is not the only one who's worthy of devotion and adoration. For the sake of power and control. So we share these temptations in wild places all the time. We're tempted to just kind of use God to meet our self needs. We're tempted to test God by demanding that God provide us with a parking spot in the front of the store. And then we'll know God's will. We're tempted to worship whatever will gain us the kingdoms of the world. That means we bow down to money or sex or power or slavery. And what I love about this story is that Jesus' defense against these temptations is from his wellspring of truth. And that's the Word of God that would have been a part of his Bible so far. The story of God or Israel, or as we call it, the Old Testament. Three times he is presented with a way of treating God as less than God, and three times he uses the truth of Scripture to combat the tempter and the temptation. And I love that Jesus' best defense against temptation is something we all have access to. All three of his books here come from the book of Deuteronomy. You could go on and read it tonight if you wanted to. You could be ready for wild places. And it's worth wondering, maybe you hear this and you read, but he was Jesus. Right? So we start to think he probably had some special God chip in his brain. And so he had access to Scripture all the time. We think of it as maybe he had this kind of inborn app where he could just sort of search through or Google a certain temptation and the right Scripture would come to him immediately. like every young Jewish man of his age would have done. And his memorization of the Old Testament would have been completely normal for a guy his age in his world. It wouldn't have been just a special godship. It would have been what they all had committed to their memory. And of course, it's also worth noting that most of us actually do have apps that would allow us to have the wellspring of truth, the Old Testament and New Testament, literally at our fingertips, and we actually could Google a temptation and come pretty close to a right answer. See, I honestly believe that most of us are living beside an ocean talking about how we're running out of water. Scripture provides us with this wellspring of wisdom and truth, and we settle for less all the time. Whether it's about our neighbors or ourselves or who God is or how the world got here or why the sky is blue, Scripture describes for us the way the world really is, who we really are. And it gives us a deep and rich picture of who God really is. So that when we are tempted to say that God is just some party trick, or when we're tempted to just settle for stone bread Here's how he kind of breaks down the act. He says that the first act is creation. Greatness. In the beginning, nothing's been about this. God made the world, God holds the world, God fills the world. He says the second act is the fall, when the whole world kind of shifts because they don't even necessarily want to live up to what God had made. He says the third act is the story of God and Israel. And that fills out a lot of the Bible, this wrestling that goes back and forth between God and the people God's trying to lead. He says the fourth act is the story of the life of Jesus. that's